FBI Radio and Fire Up are proud to present a glittering new season celebrating the barbaric ballet that we call Rugby League.
He must feel pretty confident with that additional bulk he's put on. Now watch the defence, it'll be fairly violent, I would imagine.
And now the gladiators hobble, aren't he, with the left forearm. It was as nasty as we've seen for a long time.
A little bit out of character, he's a very clean player.
Manly slumped to eighth on the ladder.
It's just rubbing salt into the wound.
You can see the head clash there.
Oh, very nasty.
And the crowd love it. They've all taken their angry pills. This smashes him to ground. The one-handed pass back inside.
With a delicate kick.
He smacked their bottoms with a beautiful bit of football early. Thank you. Another little slanging match.
He's only 5 metres from the line.
And he's hurt on the bird. He runs into a wall.
Certainly got some forearm in it for some damage done to him with a boot or a knee. But my heavens, he's really bleeding.
He's come out of it very much the worse for wear.
Bleeding like a stuck pig out there.
And the crowd starting to go wild.
Intercepted.
Shows it. Goes outside. Steps again.
He gets it down. It is a try.
Yes, it's a try. It's a sad commentary on the mentality of some of the idiots that follow Australian sport.
Now, please welcome your muscle-bound maestro, Stephen Ferris and Chris Gayle, as they fire up.
Well, I don't know about you, Chris, but round 11, and am I fired up? I think I'm feeling rather let down, to be honest with you. I think rugby league, as they say, is a cruel, harsh mistress. And, you know, the other cliche, you know, you may love rugby league, but it doesn't always love you, does it?
Certain people will pay a lot of money for a cruel, harsh mistress, Stephen, but that's a different culture than you and I move.
We don't mix no circles.
Can I say, after rep round, I was high as a kite.
Were you?
I mean, it was absolutely fantastic.
And were you?
To go back to Clubland last week was a bit of a come down.
Right.
Certainly I enjoyed seeing the Gold Coast Titans rack up 38 points against the Melbourne Storms.
Yes.
But let's face it, I've got a hangover. You look like you've got a hangover.
Flat as a tack, Chris. Flat as a tack.
I am flatlining.
Yeah.
I mean, I actually need some of those things they put on the chest and you yell clear with a bit of jelly to get me going again.
Look, to all those kiddies out there that are delayed going to school, just have a listen to Fire Up this morning. Look, we apologise if you don't understand what a hangover is just yet, if you're 14 years old. Well, maybe you do, I don't know. But,
you might want to wind that age down a little.
Look, we reported last week, of course, that the city of Sydney, our beloved city, was awash with cocaine. We didn't know about this, but, you know.
I love that expression, awash, because in my limited experience of that area, it's a powder. I mean, wouldn't it be covered in?
Look, my mate Pablo, I can take you for a little tour around the factory if you'd like to see how they wash it, Chris.
It's a blanching process, is there?
There is indeed, yes. Chlorine is involved and many other
chemicals,
toxic chemicals. but look, I did some research on the weekend. I think you may be unaware.
Yes, I heard that you went back to one of the scene of the alleged crimes and you were providing some of that in-venue entertainment at the Ivy.
You can't accuse Fire Up. I'm not doing our research.
No, good on you.
I went to the penthouse. Nothing less. There's a spa there, Chris. Did you know that?
Sorry, the penthouse at the Ivy or the penthouse Alan at the Jones's Ivy? Penthouse at the Toaster?
Well, I can't speak for that. That is a higher echelon than I... Rugby union level echelon.
So you're saying at the Ivy they have a spa in the penthouse?
They do.
Now, is that a hot tub or is that like a health spa?
I'm assuming it can be a hot... What, you're thinking about time travelling? That's a great idea. I didn't think of that. It was a 60s theme, this party.
Yeah.
And it was a glorious one. They've got a table you can dance on so the go-go girls can, you know, swing their stuff.
Excuse me, I imagine they were go-go dancers and they were of all... They weren't just girls, were they?
They were just girls.
That's not really inclusive.
No, it's a 60s theme.
The NRL's going to do something
about
this in an upcoming round.
We're talking Michael Caine times, you know.
Oh, okay.
You
know. Alfie.
And the birds get up on the table. Well, in actual fact, the blokes do get up too, as they do these days.
Well, towards the end of the night.
Yeah.
A little bit lubricated, shall we say?
Yes, they were. But look, I put on my forensic glasses, you know. I didn't have a dog with me, but I went through every nook and cranny, excuse me, of the Ivy penthouse, and I saw no signs whatsoever, Chris, no signs whatsoever of this city, the scourge that took over the city last week. Now, we know that there were, I think, 400 or 500 rugby league players were caught up in the net last week.
I think that's approximately the correct number, yeah.
Soccer, Mitch Nichols, never heard of him.
I certainly haven't.
Look, really, if you're going to go down to Double Bay, what do you expect, really? Come on.
three cops and a dog.
Yeah, if it's not at the Ivy, then it's obviously moved to Double Bay. I think Ibrahim was right when he forecast that King's Cross will move to Double Bay, and it has.
Isn't that what, you know, that, those terrible American sitcoms made by that Chuck Lorre character?
Chuck Lorre.
You know, Big Bang Theory, Two and a Half Men.
Yes.
Three cops and a dog. I mean, that's that's a sitcom waiting to happen, isn't it?
Well, it is, isn't it? But it was on television, wasn't it?
Well, it was filmed.
Filmed.
Probably again by another ABC crew about keeping Australia safe.
Haven't they slipped, the ABC? Standards.
Just shocking.
You know, all the greats have gone, and now they've just got these scungy little journos that will travel around with police
trawling
and dogs.
Trawling for Double Bay. Yes. And it was at the, I wanted to call it the Copacabana, but of course it's at the Casablanca.
Casablanca, yes. Yeah. Bit of class there, Chris.
And you said that used to be the embassy.
Embassy, Rene Rivkin style.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's carbon dating yourself.
He used to count the money with his beads at the front door.
Count his money with the what?
With his beads.
Really?
He's counting beads.
Really, like an abacus.
Until literally like the Wild West, the Ibrahims just walked in and said, we're taking over. And they did.
Very much so.
Very much so.
I've seen the TV shows.
Yes. So, TV shows. Now, look, Channel 9, I think one of those stations have... there was talk about doing a rugby league channel.
Yes, Channel 10. Yeah. Benny Elias suggested that Channel 10 was going for a bargain, $100 million.
The billionaires come together and just buy up a cheap network and just run rugby league 24-hour.
24-7.
Did they tell...
Well, look at it this way. It couldn't rate any worse than Channel 10's rating now, could it?
No, no. You know? But... if they've got that show RBT, of course, where you know we just love it when people just fall over in the street when they're trying to drive a car. Love it.
And you know why? Because we always realise there's a theoretical chance it could be us on that screen.
But
you
it's
know?
Not at it's that the, point.
Yeah. So therefore, we're relieved, happy, amused, and somewhat vindictive.
So what? Ice Storm at Double Bay. There's got to be a shorter title. You know what I'm saying?
Blizzard.
Dogs on the loose. So Mitch Nichols was charged with cocaine possession, little bags, which, too much money, Chris.
Well, contract apparently had been, terminated.
So it was a cry for help.
Apparently in football they say terminated. Of course, in rugby league we say torn up. His contract had run its course.
Or run through the shredder.
With a team called the Western Sydney Wanderers. I don't know, it sounds like some sort of folk rock group to me, I don't know.
Does it? Folk rock, yes.
And, of course, he's fiercely contesting the allegations.
Right.
The footage ended, at some point you see a bit of a contretemps, and then there are three bags, plastic bags with white substances.
They always say resealable. What is that? Resealable. As opposed to we can't get into the buggers because they're made in China. You know those plastic things that are sealed?
Yeah.
And you need a pair of scissors and pliers and a hammer?
Yeah. I think it indicates the fact that you're able to meter out the portions. But to me, I think it'd be much better described as tiny little Glad bag sandwich bags. That's what I think they're talking about. Because I can relate to that. Because, Mum would put the sandwiches in the Glad and the press
now,
seal.
This is ringing a bell, Chris. Wasn't there a man photographed with excess sort of musculature in Bondi?
There was a driver.
And wasn't there was a driver.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
Georgie Gerges, I think his name was.
Right. And, he was giving the trade a bad name because he looked like...
Well,
Middle Eastern? Was that the phrase they used?
No. I heard that he had said to one of the alleged kingpins,
the Chinese,
that another driver had to lift his game because he looked a little bogan. The
Western
ponytail. Southern. Yeah, and there's no doubt about it. If you're trading in a certain geographic area,
Eastern suburbs. So even in the cocaine wars, even in that industry, there's class struggle.
There are standards.
Standards, you call them.
They're absolutely standards. Okay. In fact, there is a professional code.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. It's not...
Thou shalt not wear a hoodie.
Yeah,
and cheap throwaway sunglasses.
I think they've filed the appropriate documentation with the Industrial Relations Tribunal.
Wonderful.
And I think they've got their wage hearing coming up next week.
And this chap was borderline. But, of course, the news broke across. I mean, the great gasp heard across the eastern suburbs was that these resealables, as they call them, were actually underweight and actually undervalued.
So you were getting a quarter of a gram for a gram. Yes. I mean, because let's face it, in those transactions, you're probably feeling, I imagine, somewhat under pressure because he would ask you to get into the vehicle.
Yes.
That of itself seems to import a bit of risk.
It surely does.
And I mean, are you really going to come out and produce your own scales in this situation? Are you going to actually argue the toss?
And famously, what's that, Breaking Bad? Yeah. Your little testing kit?
That's right. What I would do, though, if
50%.
If I was ever in those situations, I'd take with me that guy out at the Easter show who can guess your weight. Because he never gets it wrong. And you say, come on, mate, that's not a gram, that's 0.76.
Well, you call sit-in.
Yeah, exactly.
And it sits in the back seat.
He'd get in the car and he'd be able to, without any need to sort of, Benny, like, it's just a mate and he's just forming a view. But the three bags in Casablanca, suddenly there was photographers, they got spotlights on them.
Right.
Not necessarily Mitch's.
Yes, and of course, like RBT, the police claimed that it was just purely a random check. had no idea who was going to be there.
Look,
there's a camera crew following them.
Again, keeping Australia safe. Yeah. I feel for the kid because there's a photo of him being detained by the authorities, and of course there's the undercover guy who's looking very hip in his jeans and his hoodie, but he's wearing those blue plastic gloves because he's obviously now revealed that he's a police officer.
Right. He walked in with the gloves on.
No. That's the trick.
Ah.
He comes dressed undercover and has the gloves in the pocket.
Right.
So another tip would be if you see someone walking through a club and it's just a little bit of blue
protruding. But if he was frisked at the front door for whatever reason and they found some blue gloves, what would they assume? It's just biggest belief.
Germaphobe.
We'll get to them in a minute, shall we? Now, the Australia Sports Anti-Doping Agency has added its voice to a chorus of outrage, Chris. Gambling ad stone disgrace sprinter Ben Johnson. Now, Ben Johnson was never a favourite. There was always Carl Lewis was the golden boy, and Ben was the, you know, he was a bit more of a rough and tumble sort of bloke, wasn't he?
I remember as a kid, so thrilled when Carl Lewis won the 4 goals at Los Angeles. Albeit weakened by the absence of the Soviets in retribution for the Afghanistan boycott in 1980, which you'd also remember.
And you were there.
In Afghanistan, when the tanks came rolling in.
Yeah, that's right.
So it was a human shield. Mm. And I was politically committed in those days, Stephen, and then I discovered rugby league.
Yes.
And I became apolitical.
That's right. How cheap is your price, Chris, Gail? How cheap? How low is it?
Very. And then there they were lining up in Seoul in the 100 metres, which from my memory was on a Saturday morning Sydney time.
Yep.
And a little bit of my heart disappeared forever when Ben crossed the line, won the gold, Carl relegated a second.
You've got a big heart too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Only to hear some 48 hours later that in fact that Ben was on the juice.
He's a cheat.
Stolozanol.
So he was a roid user, right?
It's like trying to say Suaso Su, isn't it?
It is like Suas. What about Travoy? Don't make fun of players' names.
I'm not making fun of players' names, but I am thrilled that two tries were scored in his second NRL game last week for the...
Who, Ben Johnson?
No. By the New Zealand Warriors player, Shanze Nicole Klokstad.
Right. Wow.
Yeah, that's a name.
Say it one more time, please.
Shanze Nicole Klokstad.
Right. Sounds like something out of a film, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So, Ben Johnson for rugby league. Is that the story?
Well,
if Mundine can come back, surely Ben Johnson can come back.
Sportsbet is known for its humour and, you know, popping political correctness.
But they've got a lad culture, haven't they?
They've got a lad culture. Yeah. So what they've done is they've dragged Ben from God knows where.
Yes. He's looking a little bit sort of stocky, isn't he?
Yeah. And they're drawing an analogy between their Sporting's app as it's got increased functionality to use software language.
Right. So their app is roid infected or roid driven, so to speak. Or it's a metaphor.
It's powered up.
Right,
it's
powered up.
Yeah. And then you see other amusing images of a bicyclist on a fixed bike with smoke coming off
a gazillion miles an hour.
A reference to a Chinese swimmer whose gender might be in question.
Can they do that?
Well, they have.
Yeah, and was it a Ukrainian or a Russian weightlifter?
Exactly.
Stereotypes.
Lifting a massive vehicle.
Yes, that's right. Well, it says here, Sportsbet does not condone the use of performance-enhancing drugs, but we make no apologies for injecting some humour into advertising. Did you get that?
Who's their PR for
that?
Imagine making thinly veiled references to drugs. We would never stoop that low.
Yes. So there's been a chorus of outrage at this attempted humour. And look, I think that the world's gone politically correct mad, haven't they, Chris?
Look, in a similar vein, people are up in arms about the new condom ad starring Chris Gayle, who ends with the tagline, "Don't blush, baby." He's just having a laugh.
Yes. And how much was he paid?
Fair bit, I imagine.
So there's a price for everything, isn't there, Chris?
There's a price for everything. And I think you so cleverly pointed us to the fact that when Zoe Marshall, wife of Benji Marshall, said she's now embarrassed to be an NRL wag.
Was it Meet the Marshalls?
Meet the Marshalls on Benji's Broncos banter.
Wow, that rolls off the tongue well.
That why was the rep round the straw that broke the camel's back? Because rugby league's not... Sorry, drugs. Rugby league's not a drug problem. Well, it probably is. Drugs is not a rugby league problem. What we've uncovered through the likes of the football arrest and these Johnson, that's a society problem.
Didn't I say that?
And you did say that.
I called that, didn't I?
You called it early. You were the only one who said it.
Yep.
No one else saw that.
No one made that connection. Yeah.
And here we are, feeling a little bit the worse for wear a week later, but with proof, incontrovertible proof, that this is a scourge that spreads. Do you know it's so bad?
Yeah.
That the Cronulla Sharks, who I'm sure we'll talk about, have got into bed with the New South Wales police clubs and they've set up the Sutherland Shire Drug Reduction Committee.
Drug reduction?
Yeah, to get rid of the scourge of drugs in rugby league and the Shire.
I'm assuming at Tom Ugly's Bridge there'll be a manned force stopping it coming in.
There'll be a Trump-like wall.
Yeah.
That's where the Shire is going, by the way.
Right, right. Who would be leading that, I suppose?
Flano.
Oh, Flano, not Gal.
Flano?
Yeah.
It'd be
Sergeant Gal.
It'd be
Corporal.
The big three.
Yeah.
Sergeant Gal.
Yeah, yeah.
Corporal Flano.
Yeah, yeah.
And Viceroy Holt.
Right. Holt? That'd scare him off.
You wouldn't want to go in there, would you?
I'd put Luke Lewis in there just as a standover man.
Muscle.
Silent.
Muscle.
At the other side of the beach. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool shades.
Yeah.
Body
gun. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Scary.
Yeah.
Ugg boots.
Yeah. Well, but you're not affected because you never want to go there. You haven't been there since 1967, have you?
I won't go there.
How many gigs have you said no to?
Yeah, how much money have I lost? That's the price of integrity, Chris.
Yes.
You know?
Something I don't understand.
Exactly. Well, Wayne Bennett, the wise man of rugby league, has stepped into this brouhaha, as they say in rugby, in other codes, I should say.
Other codes, yeah.
He said, look, I don't know how you're going to stop this stuff. In a second strike, look at Benny Barber. No one's learning. If you're going to play rugby league, you're under different rules to everyone else, apparently.
Well, you're under different rules than if you're playing AFL or lacrosse.
Haven't you looked at the code book recently?
Chess.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Six tackles.
He's shaman-like, Bennett, isn't he? He sort of says the most obvious and makes it appear so profound.
Well, anyway, the game can't do any more than that. This is the second strike and how do they handle drugs, etc. You make your own choices with what you want to do and what substances you want to take. Well, this is the old, you know, personal responsibility line, isn't it?
Never washes with a SADA.
No. No. If you keep taking it, you're going to get caught. Guys are getting caught. Ben Barber's a good example. He's rubbed out of the game, and look at him now, you know. Nobody wants him. Don't tell me it's not working, because it's working, and there will be more caught. Okay, it's working, but there will be more caught.
Well, when he says it's working, and they're more caught, they've caught two.
Yes.
Right? And against social trends, yeah. I'm saying that's a particularly low...
That's a poor sample.
That's a particularly low number.
Yes.
And Bennett's no fool. He's no stooge. He's working his club's interest.
We always believe he's up to something else, don't we?
Yeah. The more it stays the same, basically they're catching no one.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to be Barber-esque to be so silly to get caught.
Yeah.
Those players will remain on the field, and that's where they belong.
That's where they belong.
On the field.
Cattle on the field, on the paddock. Yeah. It says the NRL has warned clubs will ramp up testing following last week's incidents, but Bennett said the problem will never be stopped. You don't stop it. You can't stop it. I can't stop it. You're not going to stop. It's not going to stop. Sounds like a song, doesn't it?
Billy Slater said last week he's not going to try and stop it. It's not his problem.
No, you can't stop the music.
This abrogation of responsibility by senior figures of the game is entirely appropriate, because if we looked hard, we'd be in trouble.
Bennett, a long-time teetotaler, slammed the players' excuse that excessive alcohol was involved in their instances. Of course, it's a cop-out. He's an ex-cop too, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, teetotaler, ex-cop. He'd be a harsh man, wouldn't he, as a Judge Wayne?
Tough combination. Yeah. Coach, teetotaler,
ex-cop. We need to put our hands up and say we got it wrong. It's our behaviour and we've done the wrong thing. Stop all the other rubbish that goes out. So by saying I was so drunk, I can't remember, that doesn't wash. I thought that was a fact.
Yeah, I thought that's...
The fact is...
It's a defence.
Yes.
If you're in a catatonic state, you can't be responsible for your actions.
It doesn't absolve you of the damage you've done and the price you pay.
It's certainly an approach I've relied on consistently in the past. And look at me. Here I am.
Here you are.
FBI.
I think there's only one answer for this city awash.
Tell me.
Well, tourist attraction. Why would people go to... You go to the Gold Coast for the nightlife. You know,
the theme parks.
Yeah. You know, you go to Vegas to gamble.
You go to Vegas to be able to drink in the street. That's why you go to Vegas.
Right.
Plus, with any luck, throw in a Celine Dion show.
Yes, yes. I think, you know, is this some sort of reaction against sort of restrictive times?
It feels that way. By the way, is this a wrong time for me to start mentioning how much I hate Cirque du Soleil? Because that's pretty big in Vegas too.
Wow.
Really don't
like it.
That's
a big call.
Yeah, no, it's just a personal view.
Too many twisting bodies, too much colourful...
People would go to the circus because there was a real chance that the trapeze people would be killed, right?
Right. Yeah.
But everything's on wires at Cirque du Soleil. It's all illusion. It's very safe. I don't
sat
like
sat on
it.
By an elephant.
Yeah, yeah. It never happens.
Okay.
But, that's right. People go to perhaps view something that they would like to be or like to experience but maybe don't have the courage. But if you can set up a controlled environment where they can see how it's done.
Controlled environment is the key phrase.
The word is vicarious, I think, a vicarious thrill.
Oh, I see. So it's a little bit like going on those danger rides, at Wally World or whatever.
It's why we watch rugby league, because
it's not us.
We're sensible people. We're not going to take the ball from the guy who catches the kickoff and run into a defensive line, but we love to see
three
someone
else do it. Three blokes, 105 kilogram each, running at you with full force. Yeah. Fit blokes. Who wants to do that?
That's why I go
but
to
But I want to watch it.
100% I want to watch it.
Yeah, yeah. So what you're saying is you bring in the tourists to have a look at this city and its indiscretions.
Well,
Sin City.
You might not be aware, Stephen, but there's a big festival... Arts, music, culture, light, music, everything.
Is that right?
Yeah, called Vivid coming up.
Is that right?
And they have a thing called the Light Walk.
Right.
And you get a lot of artists, and they set up installations, and you walk around the Sydney foreshore, and you experience things.
Yes.
I think we could introduce the White Walk.
Right. Beautiful. Fire up. Back in just a moment.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow.
Chris, word has come through from the powers that be that this will not be happening, this White Walk, I'm afraid.
It was a shame because I was already doing the flyers. You start at the Ivy, you stroll down to Woolloomooloo.
Oh, I see.
You take in the Finger Wharf, grab a quick T-bone at Kingsley's, onto Tilbury's for a bit of political cabaret, and maybe just a cleanser, a palate cleanser at the Bells Hotel. I would have thought it would have been huge in the context of Sydney's cultural oeuvre.
We could introduce Double Bay. Bondi?
That would be like an... there would be packages.
Yes. Okay.
So for the more athletically minded, you would kick on to Casablanca in Double Bay.
And if you want a little bit of edge, Southwest Sydney.
And then if you really want to go Rolls Royce, you'd hop on a bus, head down to Cube nightclub in Canberra and wrap it all up at about 10 past five in the morning.
That's so Sydney. This is Fire Up, and Chris Gale and myself, look, I don't know about you, Chris, but have you ever reached a point where somebody's put something to you with a price, a value to it, and you've had to question your own integrity, your values, your morals, and your compass goes a little wobbly, and you're thinking, will I do that or won't I do that?
I generally don't have to be remunerated. Like I'm
do it for nothing.
We've got a pretty constant lister called Sarah Lander, and I said I'd give her a shout-out, and I didn't ask for any money.
Is that right? Yeah. No wonder we're broke here.
Exactly. I'm not commercially minded.
No.
I'm driven by higher spiritual matters.
Yes.
I'm looking at the value that an experience can deliver rather than the value that I could derive in my own pocket.
Yes. Well, as a Catholic, of course, a Roman Irish Catholic.
Are you now?
Yes, yes.
Explains those beads you keep twiddling in your...
Exactly, yes. We believe that you can do the crime and you can be absolved from the crime.
I like that idea.
You like that?
Yeah.
So there's always a way out. So even before you pass on to the next world, you've got three options, of course. Heaven, purgatory, or hell. You want to absolve your sins before you get anywhere near that point, because you'll be living in purgatory until I think God and his minions have made a decision about whether you spend enough time. It's like do the crime and pay, etc.
I actually experienced this last year.
Did.
I was traveling with my friends MJ, Colin, Brian, Matt, Neil.
Yeah, did they pay you?
To be there. I was tour guide.
A dollar each to meet you.
I actually got a little golf buggy and I was driving them around Rome. And we took a detour out to the Vatican.
Right.
And it happened to be the weekend that they were beatifying, if that's the right word. I'm not of the faith. Mother Teresa.
Yes.
Big deal.
You'd know her only saint, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Mary McKill.
Of course.
Yeah. Okay, but this was not her.
I was there at Randwick Racecourse or whatever they did.
Yes.
And
were you at Randwick Racecourse when Led Zeppelin played? Did they play there?
No, I wasn't.
Okay.
I wasn't. But I was when Electric Light Orchestra played there.
Fantastic.
My first ever
show.
That's
even better.
Yeah, it really was. Three green lasers pointing up in infinite distance to the sky, and the world was irrevocably changed.
Pre-vivid. Wow.
Pre-vivid. In fact, that's where I think Vivid might have
got the idea from.
Tweaked a couple of ideas from.
Yeah, I see.
And they had a little deal on this. Certain times of the, it's about once every 15 years or something, where they open a door.
A Vatican value special.
Yeah, they open the door, and you can walk through the door.
Walk through the door.
And absolve yourself of all your sins.
Wow.
Rather than having to go through the confessional.
Well, we've all heard about those, the weeping statues and the water at Lourdes, that it not only will absolve your sins, but it will heal you physically.
It's a tremendous idea because it drives a lot of foot traffic to the concession stands where you buy all the the trinkets and the like.
Can you buy a little mini door?
You can buy a mini Vatican, mini basilica.
It's a little bit Spinal Tap, isn't it?
Yeah, you can also buy big versions of them. It's hard to get on the plane.
So this is a wooden door frame.
Yep.
Called the Absolution Door.
Absolution Door.
I imagine you're a big fella. Did you have trouble getting through it?
No. They followed trends in nutrition and so forth, and they've continued to heighten and widen the door over time.
As the world's population gets bigger and heftier.
And so they had a special on because of the Mother Teresa weekend, and they opened the door.
Oh, I see. So out of normal hours.
Queues went on for miles.
Yes.
But my contemporaries, because I wouldn't, as I said, I'm not spiritual in that way.
No.
Wouldn't have a part of it. They jumped the queue.
Of course, they're Australians.
So they did the wrong thing. But jumping the queue to get through an absolution door immediately absolves
you of
the sin of jumping the queue.
Who's going to complain about that?
And that's taking a business-like approach to religion. It's
being
practical and commercial.
Right.
And there needs to be more of it.
Now, are there... Look, I know that the Buddhists have no problem with rugby league.
None.
But I imagine there are some religions that that it would interfere with. The religion, the practices, you know, at a certain point you've got to pray. I mean, I don't know. Do Muslims have to stop and pray at certain points of the day? I think they do, don't they?
But I do think those time slots are designed in and around fixtures. I think it's tough in the under-20s, but it's tougher.
Okay, right.
Buddhism is fine. Their essential approach to rugby league is be the ball.
Be the ball. Right. Yes.
But there are other religions who demand certain...
Because they're in the now.
They are very much... present. They're very much in the now.
Occasionally they do stop for a moment.
Rugby league history is lost on them.
I mean, we know that... God love him. Greg Inglis used to watch the birds occasionally.
Yeah.
Well, and many footy players do stop for a moment and appreciate the now.
And you know, shout out to GI. I mean, we hope he recovers soon.
Rugby league is a caring community.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. We'll talk a bit about that as well.
Sometimes business steps in, though.
Sometimes business realities come crashing down.
Now, tell me this. If you're of the Jewish persuasion, are there certain days that you can't do things?
The Sabbath, I think they call it.
Which was the Sunday.
It goes from dusk on the Friday. To dusk on the Saturday.
That's not much good for footy, is it?
Well, it's not great for football, no.
No.
I think you can play as long as you didn't... I'm no expert.
Can it be interpreted in a different way?
But I think if you've got a game down the local park, it's okay, but I don't think you should hop in a car to get there. That sort of thing.
So it would be difficult with a professional code.
It requires management.
I don't think there are a lot of Jewish rugby league players, are there?
There's plenty, I'm sure.
Okay. Now, Will Hopewadi, there's an article here. It says he's reversing his decision to stand down from matches for religious reasons. He famously took a year off, didn't he?
He did.
Sabbatical in Brisbane.
Of the Mormon faith.
Mormon faith.
Latter-day Saints.
He went knocking in his, you know, the suit.
Yep.
With the pens.
2 years.
Clipboard.
2 years.
Yeah, the leaflet. Two years.
2 years it takes, yeah.
At the height of his career, he took
left,
2 years
left
off.
Manly. Playing for Manly would drive you to religion, really, wouldn't it?
Well, Bozo would do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. talk to any CEO.
Any CEO will tell you the same thing. They're all Mormons now. Did you know that, Chris?
Can you imagine if a recruiter rang you up right now, Steve, and said, look, there's a position at Manly we'd like you to consider as CEO?
Yeah.
Would you even consider taking it?
Well, many a fool have. So,
I suppose the money would be better than here.
A strict Mormon, Hopewadi confirmed his decision to teammates this morning that he would be playing in Sunday's blockbuster against the Sydney Roosters at ANZ Stadium.
Oh, yeah, there's been a lot of blockbusters out at ANZ lately.
What was the atmosphere like last weekend when you went there?
It was like the moon.
Was it?
Yeah.
The moon.
And I was there with... Sting. I said, I may not be a conventionally religious person, but I have been in purgatory. And my idea of purgatory is Tigers v. Rabbits on a winner's night on a Friday with allegedly 12,000 people there.
Yeah.
Sitting next to producer Pat and Bronco Reg.
Yeah, good.
Producer Pat, well-known South fan, and he said, I got a good feeling about this game, and I conversely had a very bad feeling about this game, and we were both right.
So your waters were right, his gonads were wrong.
Yeah. And then I was driving, so I couldn't drown my sorrows as Bronco
Reg
proceeded to do when he arrived.
Yes, right. Hello, Reg.
Yeah, at least he turned up for that.
Yeah, well, that's right. Yeah. Where is he?
Yeah, not here.
He's not here. He fronted the media. This is Will Hopewadi.
He's all right, by the way, for concerned listeners. Don't ring in.
He's got a big load, that Will Hopewadi. I mean, when you...
So is Reg. That's what he's doing. He's dropping off a big load right now.
Right. And he's probably got a lot of mouths to feed, I reckon, as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. So, you know, money is a crucial thing.
He, by the way, he did talk in this issue about I've got to feed my family. So that's actually the bedrock
that's
of all this.
That's a common story in rugby league, isn't
it? Yeah, I've got to do the best
for
me and my family.
The many.
Yeah.
That is very, very Christian, though, isn't it?
It's great, though. But what if you said I was leaving Canterbury to go to South and your youngest said, but I hate the Rabbits?
Oh, for God's sake. Moral dilemma.
Would you say no to the money?
Yes. Or the kid.
Or the kid. What's in the best interest of the family? Now, there's a dilemma.
My head is reeling. Hey, look, if anybody wants to give us the answer to that, 0409 945 945. Now, look, I know that Jesus was very conflicted when it came to houses that dealt in money.
To rugby league.
And the traders.
Yes.
You know, he famously destroyed one of those said banks, I suppose, or trading centres.
Cast them out of the temple. Be like going to Rugby League Central. And
threw the coins on the gold on the ground. Yeah,
the war chest, the Greenberg symbol.
But he would be conflicted. I don't even know if he would know how to make that decision about son versus, you know, money to feed the family.
Mm.
Excuse me. So I think that here he's making a decision to do the right thing by his family. Is that correct?
I think he is, because he's off contract.
Okay. So there's a player agent involved.
There's always a player agent involved.
Okay. He admitted today that in a perfect world, he wouldn't play on Sundays because of his faith, but said that he would heed the wishes of his employers, which apparently is not God.
No, it's a higher authority.
Higher authority.
Des Hasler.
Des Hasler, yeah. Beginning this Sunday against Sydney Roosters, we don't live in a perfect world, says Hopewadi. Well, he's walked around Brisbane.
Words to live by.
Absolutely.
We don't live in a perfect world.
No. We're coming up with a few Sunday games, beginning with this week, coming off a back of injury and me wanting to stay at the club. Do you think there might have been a bit of pressure brought to bear on this young chap?
Yeah, I can describe that pressure in two words. Foreign Woods.
Foreign Woods. Okay. Okay. They came from a business decision, and at the end of the day, rugby league is a business.
Hey, it's the entertainment business, Stephen.
Yes.
I mean, this is a modern parable.
Right.
I mean, if the Latter-day Saints want to come up with a fourth book, there'll be a chapter entitled Hopawadi and Rugby League.
Right. But then Hazard, because it came out and sort of put a nice shiny glow on it, he says, that is what makes Will so special. He said, when it was revealed he would not be available for Sunday games, his beliefs distinguish him, and we are very proud to have such a person within our walls. To deny something that is so fundamental to a person is to deny that person the right to be who they are.
Isn't that good? And you do walk into training at Belmore, and over the proscenium arch, if that's the right term,
yes,
there are the words, we are a broad church, we are the Bulldogs.
There's something wrong with that picture. Let's move on to another picture here, shall we, Chris?
Yes, please.
Now, status seems to be playing a bigger role in a lot of these things. It's the haves, the have-nots, and in a place like Sydney, those that live in the higher echelons don't dabble in, you know, such low-life activities as cocaine.
Well, no, they don't want to be connected with that. They get involved in tax scams and things like that.
Exactly. Now, the Waratahs, you heard of them?
Yeah, it's a state national flower.
That's right.
It's got a red...
If you go to the Sydney Town Hall, you can spot it somewhere on a flag or on an emblem. Yeah,
I've heard of that.
Right. Well, apparently the boss of this said flower claims children will become happier, better people playing rugby union.
What now?
Happier, better people playing rugby union.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay, well, please, I'd like to know more.
Okay, well, he says, as rugby league reels from their cocaine crisis this week.
Yeah, hello, Zoe Marshall.
Yes, well, the shame. she carries.
Can you imagine what it's like for her going down to the local IGA and people going, there's Zoe.
She's a wag.
She's married to a rugby league player. Can you believe that?
Oh, my God.
A wash of cocaine.
She knows they're pointing and talking. She does.
It's humiliating, Steve. It's just humiliating.
The other mothers.
It didn't used to be humiliating, but after rep round, it's humiliating.
Look, we've made a mistake here. Apparently, this man represents a 15-man game.
Right. Okay. Yes. Okay. And would that be the rugby union to which you were referring previously?
Yes, Andrew Hoare, that's right.
Well, you know what they always say.
What are they?
We always say if someone's surname is Butcher, they work in the meat industry.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So someone with that name working in,
Chris.
I mean, Andrew, rugby union, right? You know what I'm saying?
Scratch the surface and you can see the bias underneath of your skin. Yeah. It's H-O-R-E.
Hey, sorry.
Yeah.
I stand for something.
Yes.
Isn't that the name? What was the name of that serial pest? Was that Andrew Hoare or Peter Hoare or something like that?
Peter Hoare.
Yeah.
It was too.
No relation?
No, well.
Because rugby union feels like some sort of pest,
Of, he's one of the great cultural disruptors.
Yeah, and, commentator.
Now this man's doing much the same, but I don't think anybody noticed. It says he made a bold stand for struggling rugby union by declaring the 50-man game creates better people. Hoare, who was 1 year into his job. Now, this is a job that even rugby union said is a smelling, rotting carcass, isn't it? It's a code in crisis, isn't it?
It's consigned to the flotsam jepsam of sports history.
Oh, goodness gracious, I know that feeling. he said rugby's pathways to education travel.
Now they're taking our terminology.
Yes.
Give it back, rugby union, that's a league term.
Pathways to education travel and network of established people remain huge selling points despite the code floundering in Australia amid poor results and ratings. Buddy, I'll talk about Mick. I'm confused again.
He's really selling it, isn't he?
He really is, yeah. Many New South Wales parents with talented children are often lured, Chris, behind the shed. They lure them to league. This is like the drug dealers, isn't it?
They give the kids a plastic football and a team scarf. The next thing, they're on the gear.
In a resealable bag.
It comes in a resealable bag.
It's in a bag,
a bigger one. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Watch out for the doggies, though. I'll get you. Because it dominates the media and the social cycle. However, he is convinced rugby remains the better option. Yeah. Quote, if you want your kids to be happy, and who doesn't?
Nope. No
arguments
there. Best for my family. Yeah.
To be good people, no arguments there. There's a higher probability, mathematics coming to this, of achieving that through rugby and the opportunities that come through rugby.
Higher probability compared to what?
Yeah, compared
is
to what?
Is he saying to rugby league? Is he really going to that level of... That's despicable.
Chris, it's a cry for help.
Right. Seriously. If anyone's doing a thesis on the university, their funding should be stopped immediately.
Right. Now, it says here, while the NRL is flush with cash from a huge broadcast deal, Super Rugby is struggling amid viewer backlash over its convoluted format. Just the referees are enough to make you turn off, let alone anything else. It says here, but union has something inherently more valuable. Now, this is where we get the crux. We know we haven't got the same amount of money as the other sports. I mean, Do you remember when rugby union was really the bastion of those with a lot of money?
Oh, yeah, it was all the million-dollar players falling all over themselves.
And what do they go to after they finish their career in rugby?
Banking.
Banking, yeah. Or token figure in
the
insurance company.
Financial services industry. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, hello, our rugby union friends who've come on the show.
Share market trading.
Yeah. That's right. Hedge fund manager.
Your rugby union friends and Peter Fitzsimons.
Yeah. As other sports. But what we do have is a history of growing great people.
Who is this clown?
Yes. He's the head of the rugby union.
Can I have exhibit
well,
A?
Waratahs,
can he name one great person who's a rugby union player?
Well,
Alan
Jones, was he a player or just a coach?
Coach.
Well, that doesn't count.
Don't you remember the tennis world remembers him as a protege of Harry Hopman?
Right.
Going back to that old 2GB ad, which you clearly don't remember.
I don't remember that.
No. Don't you remember? And he goes, oh, thank you, Maggie. Don't you remember that?
No, I do not.
Okay.
No.
We should get the audio.
And the other thing that rugby got is it's global. That old card.
yeah. Because how many countries have won the World Cup?
Yeah.
Four.
Yes. So it's about values, he said. The values set them apart. People involved in the game, the expectations of the behaviour of these people in the game make it a great sport to be involved with. Now, a kid, here's the quote. This is the crunch.
This is the important bit, right?
A kid could grow up and be pretty ordinary rugby player. So there you are. You're bottom of the barrel. Right?
A bunch of ordinary players playing a cod ordinary game. I accept with that.
But that young man might also get in with a good peer group, goes to school, gets an education, puts his head shield, mouth guard, and boots in a bag, flies over to London, jumps in a lower grade footy club there, meets a guy who works in a bank, and before you know it, earning millions.
Right. So there's two things I've got to say there. First of all, what the hell is a head shield?
Yes. Right. And number two, I'm assuming this peer group he's talking about are the top 2%.
Yeah, they go to places like Eton and St. Joseph's and that sort of caper. And then there seems to be a few steps missing. Meet someone who works in a bank, makes millions.
Yeah.
And it does take me to the front pages today of the... you know, the people working in the financial services industry suddenly ending up with 36 Ferraris, a couple of aeroplanes, and some charges hanging over them. Rugby union, I think, is a gateway to a very, very questionable pathway.
Yes. You deal with these people, don't you, Chris?
Routinely. Mm. Where you suddenly walk into a bank and the next thing you know, you're swimming in millions.
Mm. So basically what he's doing is that I don't know a single rugby league player who would go, I'm pretty ordinary. I need to find the right school to start with. I need to find the cashier at the right school. Yeah, and then I'm going to fly to London, and then I'm going to meet a mate who's a banker, and then I'll be coming back and I'll be earning millions. Correct me if I'm wrong. He's appealing to a very small demographic.
Small demographic, and also he's appealing to the worst side of human nature, and this is the trouble with rugby union. They equate obscene levels of wealth with happiness.
Yeah.
And this is an expression that I actually coined,
Steve. And you're not a Buddhist.
No, I'm not a Buddhist, but this is my own personal expression. Money can't buy happiness.
Bloody hell, did you come up with that on the spot?
You can have that one for free. Because I do all my stuff for free. Hi, Sarah.
He said, that's the beauty of it. Simple.
Fired up! Ready to go! Fired up! Ready to go! Fired up! Ready to go! Let's go change the world. Thank you, everybody. All right, who wants ice cream? Come get it.
Well, I've got some happy news for you, Chris.
Stephen?
I'm going to take that option, I think, with rugby union. I want to go to London and I want to earn a lot of money and start work in a bank. That'd be great. I'm only ordinary.
It's that simple, really.
It's that simple.
You just turn up at Heathrow and you present your passport and your rugby union club membership drops out in front of the customs officer and they go, there's a special shuttle over there.
Yes.
Straight into the financial district.
Right.
Riches await. And what a great sport. What a great calling.
And I would say, look, I don't know what that would do to the purity of your soul, given that we're talking about God. Would they need an absolution door at some point before they go to heaven?
They wouldn't just need a door. They need a multi-level building.
This is Get Smart style.
Yeah,
eight
exactly.
Doors.
Zoop, zoop, yeah, zoop, yeah. Zoop.
Right. Now, rugby league, Chris, as we said, is a cruel, harsh mistress. And sometimes it turns on you, but it turns on itself as well. I mean, it has two very distinct faces. There is the rugby league that we've experienced recently where we celebrate some of the great aspects of humanity, celebrating the inclusive nature of race equality with the Indigenous realm. The spirit of Australians that go to war and get slaughtered for a cause, the British cause, in the Anzacs, right?
That's one way of describing Anzac.
We celebrate the ladies in league.
Coming up?
Yeah. We also, well, I don't know if we, well, we certainly celebrate this weekend with the brain cancer. I don't know if it's official, but the beanies are everywhere.
Yeah, it's the beanies for brain
and
cancer.
And that's just not fashion week.
And that's, of course, Mark Hughes is the front person for that, the Newcastle Knight two-time premiership winner who's been battling brain cancer.
Yep.
It's actually a tremendous cause.
It's a great initiative.
I was lucky enough to watch League Life, which is the Fox show hosted by
Yvonne Sampson.
You're
a big fan of that, aren't you?
Big fan of the show.
Yeah.
They are the new best show in rugby league because they get people going and they're a little bit more open to talking about emotional issues.
Is it on repeats?
They loop it.
Yeah, you know, they do.
It's 24/7, but there's a lot of repeat content.
That's handy for people like us who work different hours.
That's right. And for Channel 10, yeah. I mean, they won't be getting 24/7 of original content if the NRL buy them.
No. And this is an all-league panel, an all-ladies panel,
all female journalists. Yeah, Lara Pitt, Hannah Hollis, Jessica Yates, and Yvonne Sampson. And they had on Paul White, the Brisbane CEO, who never does television. Yeah. He's battling brain cancer, doing fairly well.
So it's a different perspective because you've got the ladies who are interviewing primarily the men.
That's right.
Had they had Renee Castle, for example, she gone on?
I'm not sure that Raylene's been on yet. Ricky Stewart went on and you saw a you saw a different side to Sticky,
the
that's for sure.
Softer side?
Very much the softer side.
Right. He was known as a great grub, wasn't he?
He was. Yeah. And, you know, all cats would quiver in fear, but probably not after they've seen him now.
Ah.
And then, of course, Brett Kamali, who very tragically lost his wife a couple of months ago, was on, really doing it tough, but showing a lot of courage.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, this is the thing that sports like rugby union, in essence, never understand, is that rugby league does support its own in tough times.
Yeah. Look, and then, look, let's get serious. There are
many
people...
That's tough on rugby union. I shouldn't have said that. Even I have limits.
Yeah. There are many people who will have their theories about, you know, what is cancer, you know, and getting the bomb. But Charlie Teo, the most famous brain cancer surgeon in the country, claims it's just a matter of funding. And more money, more research to develop, and he will, like, obviously, if your time's up, your time's up at the end of your life, but we want to live a good quality life during the duration of an average person's lifespan, correct?
We've had Professor Dave Taylor on here with the Rugby League Encyclopedia author, and his wife is going through this experience, and they've been very active in the area, and you learn a lot about, for example, if a tumour is regarded as low grade, it basically attracts no research funding, and unfortunately, medical research and funding is a political issue, and there's a lot of factors at play. So rugby league stepping up in this
rugby
case
league
is
great. A tool for good.
It's a tool for good.
So if you see many people walking on the streets in beanies, not mullets, you'd be forgiven for thinking it was part of Fashion Week down at the Iceberg. It's not. It's for a good cause.
Yeah, I've grabbed a few. I'll bring them
have
in
you?
Here and suit us up next
dispense
week.
Dispense them, yes.
Yep.
Okay.
And they haven't arrived yet, but I ordered late.
The money goes somewhere.
Yeah, but rugby league is shiny, happy, writ large.
Right, okay. Now, on the other side, of course, rugby league.
On the other side.
On the other side of rugby league, there are many actions that...
Just before we go there, Stephen, I just something's just coming quickly.
Coach's turn to fire up at half-time. Shane Flanagan's spray having the desired effect.
Wow.
Sorry, just a bit of audio from last week's Battle of the Brothers.
Yes.
Big Brother versus Little Brother. Mm. St George prevailing over the... Cronulla.
Cronulla.
Prevailing over the St George Illawarra.
Taking great delight, aren't you?
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Just because that's me. I'm nasty. Yeah. I've been talking about good stuff. I'm trying to make myself look like a good citizen, but I can't help myself.
Yes, yes.
I just had to throw in that bar because of the dual nature that I am.
We have no absolution door here, Chris Gayle.
I am Jekyll. I am Hyde.
Yes. So, listen, the duality of rugby league, you know, it's like, you know, we all know about Jekyll and Hyde, don't we, where a man has two sides. It's generally a man, of course.
Of course.
Yeah. Do you know of any great sort of female stories or archetypes that have a split personality?
Dr. Jekyll and Mrs. Hyde.
Mrs. Hyde.
Yeah, it's not as well known, but it's pretty much the same story.
I'm sure there's a woman with many faces, isn't there? Anyway, we'll get to that. Anybody like to text in? You're more than welcome. 0409 945 945. But, I mean, we've all seen, for example, Miracle on
30th. I had a couple of ex-girlfriends who had a few aspects to their personality.
Yes. That's your fault, Chris.
That tended to be their explanation.
Miracle on 34th Street, where I think...
Jimmy Stewart
had seen how one decision in your life can turn and infect a lot of other decisions, and suddenly life can be very, very bad, or it can be very, very good.
Bill Harrigan rules some sort of ruck infringement in the 89 Grand Final. Balmain loses the title. Simple as that. One decision ruined many lives.
The same Bill Harrigan that ruined the 99 Grand Final.
Hollywood Bill Harrigan.
The very same.
He's both ruined our lives.
Yes. Bastard Bill Harrigan.
I can't handle it.
No.
Every time I hear him on that Triple M station, really gets
me
going.
He's a pompous kid, isn't he?
Oh, my
He's
goodness.
So correct, isn't he?
And no one, and you know how, I think you pointed out to me, they're bringing the mullet back in Fashion Week.
Yeah, he's doing it
they're
already.
They're basically modelling on Harrigan. Because he was a paean to mullets.
Yes, he was, wasn't he? God. So, sliding doors.
I never saw it. You know, Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah. So on one side, the beauty and the glory and the goodness of rugby league can turn into something very, very bad.
I am such a bad person. Yeah. I'm on record as saying I thought Gwyneth Paltrow deserved the Oscar for Shakespeare in Love. So there you go.
Did you hear that?
And that makes me disliked by so many people in so many contexts.
You're talking about our Kate here.
I know I'm talking about our Kate.
Yeah.
And if I have to see another movie, Dutton. There's another one coming up with Kate Blanchett playing 13 different characters. We get it. You're talented. You're deep. You're diverse. Yeah. You're not Meryl Streep. Yeah. Know your place. No, I love Kate. She's fantastic.
Our Kate. And you thought that the other winner should have got it. Yeah. There you go.
And she did get it. The judges got it right. Congratulations, La La Land. You haven't won it. Give it to Moonlight.
You know, sometimes, I mean, you know, this is a note that we're going to show the goodness of our hearts here, that we care for our touch judges. We care for our referees as inclusive. I mean, look at the Badgers. What a perfect, shining example of great people they are. Working together, living together. They are setting a standard.
Whistling together.
And recently, though, a touch judge was bashed.
Bashed
amongst many other activities by a man that the Telegraph even calls a grub, and they want to give this grub life.
Right, yeah. A shocking incident. Injured a player with a illegal behind the plate
tackle. Let's have a look at
his
rap sheet, shall we? He goes, now his name is Manu Asuava. And back in 2004, he threatened to kill the family of a touch judge. Well, we've all done that. Who hasn't done that?
I suppose, you know, I don't want to dwell on this, but the interesting thing is not the touch judge, him or herself, the family.
Family. I know where you live. You said that, Chris. I know where you live. that was 2004. In 2005, switched to rugby union. Now, apparently there's no concerted effort to unify the codes.
And what you're going to tell me is he switched to rugby union, hopped on a plane, went to London.
Met a banker.
And now
Square.
It's a happy ending to the story, awash with minions.
No, he didn't have enough money to get on the plane.
All right.
Yeah, so you see, that's the flaw of Andrew Hall?
Yeah, Andrew
Hall.
The
flaw of his plan.
Not Peter Hall.
You can't have enough money to get on a plane to London in the first place, even if you're an ordinary player. And this bloke is an ordinary player. This Manu Asuava, he was then charged with actually striking a touch judge. Not their family, but the touch judge. Then
it's called cutting out the middleman.
Attacking the head of an opponent. And I'm sure that was with Menace as well, if you could put that on.
Michael Ennis was playing.
together, the two of them, attacking somebody's head. Contrary contact in 2009, striking in 12. Dangerous contact, 12. Striking in 15, striking 17. Contrary contact.
You can never describe rugby league as not being a redemption sport.
No.
Could you? Because there seems to be multiple chances for reform being offered here.
Well, I mean, we all know that, look, the man with wings, JT, wasn't the most respectable person many years ago. Look at him now. He's walking on water.
Blossom. Everything he touches turns to, not gold, platinum.
And we'll get on to Mick Ennis in a minute, but this cross-code thug should never step onto the field again, says Phil Rothfield. And he's at large.
He is at large.
He's at large. He's across it all.
Does that mean they don't give him a desk at the Astonisher?
Yes.
They go, Phil, we like your work, but we don't want you in our office.
And the injury was so bad, they've had to pixelate the photo.
Right, okay.
So bad.
That's tough on that kid.
So I would say quiet news week.
Very quiet news week. If we're doing rugby league in Group 6.
Yeah. Now,
because, you know, it's a hangover.
Of course, last
week. We haven't got the heights of last week.
Yeah, I'm feeling a bit flat.
The dizzy heights.
Yeah. Alka-Seltzer coming, please.
Yeah, Barocca.
Barocca. Now, the Shaky Sharks, as they're now calling them, they've got through twice in 2 weeks running now. They've got out of jail. They're not looking the goods, but they got out of jail, right?
I think it's 3 weeks in a row.
Let's call it three. Yeah. Shaky Sharks, home ground. They won last night. I think that without JT, they just petered out in the end in North Queensland.
The FNQ Cows boys.
Now, we know the real reason. Why the sharks are shaky. Why the shakes are sharky. No Mick Ennis.
Right. The emotional core, gone.
The heart of Cronulla. Now, you might think Flano and Gal. Well, yes, you know, that's the left and right shoulder. But the actual heart was Mick Ennis, because Mick is the greatest grub of all time. We know that.
Isn't that interesting? And it sort of says a lot about the Sharks. Mm. The Gal, who's been playing for them since the Keating administration, and they still
is that,
were,
is that right?
And they still lack the heart until Mick Ennis, Johnny come lately.
Yeah,
two years, and suddenly he's the soul and heart.
Well, that's
heart
right.
Of the
he's
place.
Played for about 8 clubs, hasn't he?
That's right.
But you see, the grub needs to be shared.
Yeah,
you know, you can't just like don't be greedy with
grubs,
the grub.
Grubs, they always say a prop forward who's got a pass in him or her are in short supply.
Short supply.
Surprisingly, true grubs in rugby league are in very short supply.
And these qualities are a good sledge.
Yep.
Obviously, the slightly unseen tactics, like, you know, the niggle, the scrotum grab, the chewing of the ear, messing with the mind is the most. And that's what Mick Ennis—he messed with your mind, didn't he?
Right. I mean, there are the tools of the trade.
Yeah.
You know, the grip, the grapple,
yeah.
All those sorts of things. Yeah. But then, over and above that, you need something signature. And I mean, the thing about Ennis, there was creativity there. I mean, who can forget the Viking clap?
Yes.
I mean, you can't script that stuff.
No.
A true grub isn't just a carbon copy of what's gone before.
And just like Sydney, he's a creative.
You know what? Like, they change rugby league.
Right.
You know, they talk about, Brad Clyde comes and changes the way forwards play.
They change themselves. They evolve. And by evolving, they change what's around them as well.
And of course, and Mick Ennis is the perfect proof of this, is once they finish their trade, they finish their careers, they finish being a grub, they come out of their cocoon.
Yeah.
And is there a more beautiful butterfly in rugby league now than Mick Ennis on TV?
He speaks eloquently.
He's charming.
He's kind to kiddies.
He's fantastic.
He does his you know, Christmas and Santa routine. I mean, what more could you ask for?
There's nothing more you could ask.
And as a result, of course, there's a gaping bloody hole in rugby league. And there are many what I would call wannabe grubs, you know, like grubs on training wheels. So give us a rundown of some of those.
Well, you saw Maloney with the possible dog shot on
last night,
Lachlan
dropping
Coop,
on her, yeah.
Lying prostrate on the ball, which he could have been foxing. Yes. I mean,
is there somebody doing a trip last week?
Coot could have been foxing. It could have been grub on grub.
Grub on grub.
DCE, who is so disliked.
Would that create more grubs?
Yeah.
A bit of wriggling around.
Grub squared. Grubs with two Bs, I don't know.
Yeah. Now,
DCE, who feigned contact with Sam Thaiday running a line and then theatrically tripped Gwyneth Paltrow style.
He has been watching A-League.
Yeah, to get the try rubbed off for the obstruction. He's so disliked for the backflip with the Titans that apparently he's been ostracised within the Queensland camp.
Now, let's face it, the Queensland...
Which is full of grubs.
Yeah, full of grubs. I mean, look at them. I mean, let's just... how many can we count there? Cooper Cronk's the shiny, lovable grub.
Slater Smith.
Slater.
Smith.
Cat grub.
Recent graduate.
Smith.
Yeah.
Cunning grub.
President Goat, the greatest of all time.
Greatest of all
self-proclaimed.
Time. Self-proclaimed. Self-proclaimed grub goat.
Recent retiree, Justin Hodges.
Oh, God.
Hey, quality stuff.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You know, I think that there's a few wannabes.
Friday, third man in at every occasion.
Grub.
Terrible.
Yeah. Look, I just applaud the grubs and say, keep on working hard, aim for Ennis' standards, and see what you can come up with.
It could be a reality show in itself.
Could be indeed.
We will attack, defend, attack. We've been away so long. We grew hungry, we grew strong. Now we're back where we belong. We are the Dirty Reds and we love to win. And every time we play, you'll hear our Dirty Red fans cheer. Hey! Don't think we'll go away, 'cause the Dirty Reds are here to stay. We are the Dirty Reds of Fleet. We have the longest history. We are the Dirty Reds and we're back. Love to play. We are the Dirty Reds, and like McKibbitt, Virgin Grey, every time we play, we find a way to win. Because the Dirty Reds don't give in. We are the Dirty Reds of Fleet. We have the longest history. We are the Dirty Reds, and we're back. Dirty Reds!
Good shot from Peets. But look at Melbourne again! The old firm! Solicitors, the conveyances! Smith, Slater and Cronk! What a magic combination! What a try!
Vossi! Just out exceeding himself. Now, he's got a book out in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah, Stuff You May Have Missed.
Yeah, Stuff You May Have Missed. There'll be a launch on the 5th. And look, if he's got the time, he can come on next week and talk about it.
We would love that. And, I mean, you know, wouldn't you just feel secure in your professional future as to how you should invest the millions you've earned through rugby union by walking into a bank in London?
Yes.
If you walked into the financial advisory
what do you
firm
see?
Of Smith, Slater and Cronk?
What's better is coming into a radio show, Voss, Gale and Ferris.
There you go, same thing.
Same thing.
And in terms of Stuff You May Have Missed, we missed the opportunity to announce that is the song, the new theme song, courtesy of Dennis Carnahan. And I and producer Pat, Bronco Reg, all at Rugby League the Musical last Monday, Stephen. Wonderful night out. It's on again at the Bridge Hotel this Monday.
Shame me.
I'm hearing that a lot of interesting people might there. Michael Ennis could possibly be there. You know, Von Sampson. This could be worth going.
Right.
So Dennis has done the new theme song. Glebe was one of the foundation clubs in 1908.
Wow.
And they're back.
Yeah.
After being exited from the league in 1929
South,
by...
South, Chooks.
Keep going. Glebe, see how you go.
Newtown. Western Suburbs.
You're going well.
Balmain.
Except Newtown wasn't... Was Newtown one of them?
Newtown, I think, claims to be the actual first. The actual,
Newtown,
actual...
8th of January 1908. Glebe Dirty Reds, 9th of January 1908.
9th of January, right. Okay.
Souths.
Yes.
You've forgotten the Balmain Tigers.
I was getting to them.
Who else you got?
Well, I said them all. Glebe, Cumberland, Sydney University?
Nope. You've got...
That's Glebe.
You've got the North Sydney Bears.
No way, the North Sydney Bears, were
yeah,
they?
Yeah, 7th February 1908, mm-hmm. And on the 10th of April 1908, the Newcastle Rebels.
Wow. They went quiet again, didn't they?
Yeah.
Didn't they? Anyway, so they're back into what competition?
I think they're playing for the Ron Massey Cup, I think.
Wow.
Which is, it's a gateway to a NRL license.
Yeah.
The 17th license, Glebe.
You can't say rugby league doesn't look after the grassroots.
And you got to hand it to those people who've kept that flame burning.
Yeah.
Because for the best part of a century, only rugby union's been offered in the Glebe area.
Yeah.
And finally, the good citizens of Glebe can pull on a rugby league boot and a rugby league jersey.
Is this a hipster thing?
This is hipster writ large.
Writ large, yeah. Just like Newtown, right?
Well, they're playing at Henson tomorrow.
There you go.
Hello,
there
Albie.
Can of KB. Away you go.
They've run out.
Oh, no.
This is I love going to Henson, and I believe we're doing our annual thing with the Jets next week, and we might be lucky enough to have Albie Tallarico in the studio to pump it up.
Okay.
And I love going to Henson,
yeah.
But I did go partly on the promise of a can of KB.
KB.
It's sold out now. You know what you get now? Craft beer.
Locally made, I hope.
Oh, so what?
Yeah. At least it's not VB.
Hey, give me VB over a craft beer anytime.
Gee whiz. Now, The Grub. I believe Channel 10 are interested. They've just called us.
So
watch a TV show.
We know that modern media is all about content.
Yes.
And if they're going to acquire, Rugby League is going to acquire Channel 10, they will be playing lots of recycled episodes of League Life and, you know, The Professor's Second Year Syndrome, Matty Johns. But they will need some new shows.
Yeah.
I think it's called The Grub.
Yeah. Well, they need to show the full panorama of what League has to offer.
It's basically modelled on The Voice.
Yes.
So you get a lot of people walking on auditioning their stuff.
Yeah, well, I suppose the verbal sledge.
I think we need to think as to who the judges might be. I mean, Tommy Radonikis immediately springs to mind.
Straight up there, yeah.
Michael Ennis, very presentable on television. Simon Wolford, the Germ.
The actual Germ himself.
He'd be good.
Yes.
Hodges, I've seen him on Queenslanders Only. He won't be in the cast. He's no good.
Okay. But Cooper Cronk's got nothing to do.
Well, Cooper, exactly. Well, he'd be the host.
Yes, he'd be the
and
host.
Like, you'd be watching The Voice. I'm not watching it. But I assume they've got a host that isn't one of those four clowns on the seats, right?
Yes, they've got that blonde lady.
Right. Krugs.
Krugs.
Oh,
Sonia
Kruger.
Yeah.
Oh, now I am watching.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So there's the Cooper Cronk's the Kruger. Right.
Kruger and Cronk.
Yeah. Now Kruger and Cronk.
They can present together. You could actually do The Voice Grubs.
Yeah.
What a great cross promotion that'd be. Yeah. Boy George and Tommy Radonikis assessing the ability of contestants on stage.
Because you've got to have differing opinions.
Benny Elias has got it right. Channel 10 has got to be bought. They've got to move. This is exciting.
Yeah. I mean, what kitty wouldn't want to see a scrotum grab? I'm telling you now, it's got ratings written all over it, hasn't it?
There'll be the appropriate warnings before the show telecast.
Well,
parental advisory.
They might have to put on after 8 o'clock, is what you're saying.
but Stephen, it would rate its head off.
Hey, I can smell Origin.
Oh no,
can
surely
you?
Not.
Put
it's not
nose up. I can smell Origin. Can't you see Jared Hayne coming good?
The plane is coming in
coming
for landing.
In, coming to land.
Cleared the land. Goodbye, Teddy Tedesco.
Now, look. You did mention Bozo recently.
Yeah.
He's becoming the new Chucky doll of rugby league, isn't he?
he's
just wielding a knife, isn't he, with a manny grin on his face, you know, coming at any CEO, anybody that wants to sort of upset his power.
If there's one thing that immortal status confers, you tell, I can be a serial killer because they can't execute me. Why not? Because I'm an immortal.
Yeah. And look, how many absolution doors has he walked through? Many. Still needs to walk through a few more, I think.
He's got one permanently set up at Lotto Land.
Okay. How did we get through a whole show without talking about the West Tigers properly?
Oh, well.
How did we do that?
You threatened me. You said I'd be kicked off the show.
Oh, I did.
If I brought them up.
I'd take your wage off you. Now, what's Teddy Tedesco? Who's leaving your club?
Yes, he is.
That is shame on Teddy.
He's going to Foundation Club. And people like to call them Eastern Suburbs. People even will call them Sydney Roosters. I like to call them by their proper name, the Sydney City Roosters.
You're a conflicted man because I know that you go to both the West Tigers games and to the Roosters games. And I know you've got Roosters friends. And now your star player is walking out for the money No, he says it's not for the money.
No, no, he's actually not walked out for the money. I believe he's been offered 200 grand a year or less. Mm. He's walked out for the opportunity to play semi-finals. And you don't know how much that upsets me.
Yeah, that's right.
He's walked out to be a better footballer. You don't know how much that upsets me.
But such is the man, the quality of the man, that he...
We love him on this show.
He went and made a phone call on the weekend, didn't he?
Well, he called all the other... He called all his teammates.
Yes, right.
In the wake
personally.
Of it, yeah,
in the phone to phone.
Yeah, because as you know, Mitchell Moses has gone to Parramatta for welfare reasons.
Welfare reasons.
But Woods is staying on once the drumstick hammy cures, and Tedesco is also playing out the season. So he rang all his teammates to reassure them of his complete commitment for the balance of the season. Now, that might have been slightly questionable on last Friday night out there, but that's just because he was exhausted.
Right.
Yeah, he wasn't...
All the phone calls.
He wasn't chucking in the towel, and he was trying. Mm. And he still got 60 super coach points. But Jesse Sue, or as you like to refer to him by his proper name, Stephen, which of course is...
Sue of Zasu Sue.
Suaso Sue.
Suaso Sue.
Said in relation to Teddy's call, he called me, I didn't know who it was.
So he's a forward.
Yeah.
Teddy's at the back. Well, Teddy's at the far back.
He's way back.
Fullback.
I didn't know who it was.
Why would you?
But this guy told me how it was, and he'd rip him for the rest of the year.
And you thought, I'm happy.
So I was going, don't know who this guy is.
No.
But I appreciate the sentiment. It does seem to me that the problems at the Tigers are a little bit more deep-seated than just contractual.
And the end of the year is moving faster than other teams.
And chairs.
Yes.
And CEOs. It might be they don't know who each other is.
Has anybody taken some of these young chaps and sort of said, look, if you go to London, if you get on a plane, you're pretty ordinary.
Walk into a bank.
Walk into a bank.
And you'll be shiny and happy forever.
And you'll come back rich.
Millions.
Richer. Fantastic.
Millions.
Hey, Chris, fire up.
Fire up, Stephen.
So tune in again next week when we invite a veritable breadline of nobodies and wannabes to flesh out another rip-snorting roundup of rugby league shenanigans, slander and smut right here at the home of radio's most fatuous footy confab. Fire!